revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in you. That's what the scripture says. And we want to rejoice in him as he revives us, as he brings life to our heart. Join me as we have our scriptural affirmation for this morning. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun.
For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it.
Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked?
In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him.
All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness.
Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself?
Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?
It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all.
Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city.
For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not.
Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee.
For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others.
O Father, give us an accurate knowledge of who we are. Help your word begin to understand better who we are and whose we are, and even more importantly, who you are. Today, Lord, open our eyes, open our heart, open our mind as we open our mouths and praise thee. Lord, we do praise you. We thank you that you are here with us. And we are excited today for you to reveal even more and more of your truth in a way that will glorify your name and build up your body. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. We thank you and ask that now, right now, in this place, you will have your way because you are worthy. You are worthy and you're good and we love you. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God has blessed us in so many wondrous and amazing ways. And it's always interesting to think of him, even in the complex times of life. One of the things that I've noticed is that life is sometimes really complex. You know, it's interesting when you're studying a map or you're getting a GPS thing, you know, you'll see something is 27 miles away and it takes you 35, 40 minutes to get to. And you go, wait a minute, the speed limit is like 60 or 70. So there's no way that it should take me so long to get from here to there when it's only this amount of time away. And you know, there's other things that are just curious, you know. You will say, well, why does it take so long to do a particular kind of thing? I mean, this is just elementary stuff. Why does it take so much? And you begin to look and you begin to study and after it's all over, you come to the conclusion, I don't know. You ever do that? You ever set your mind on a concept or something? You just think, well, if I just study it a little bit, I'll have it all figured out. And sometimes you study it a little bit, then you study it a lot, and you still don't have it figured out. And you know, sometimes it's like that with life. Have you ever noticed that we don't have every answer all the time? Unless you give the kindergarten answer, the preschool answer of church school. What's the answer, children? Jesus. You know, Jesus is like the answer, and that's cool, and that works out real well. But, you know, we want this answer that explains all of this stuff up to it and how it got there, and sometimes we just don't get that. Sometimes we don't understand why you have to go all the way around for something to happen when we think it should be a straight course. And that's what Solomon is going through as he writes the book of Ecclesiastes. He's seeing things aren't always easy to understand. Here he is, supposedly the wisest man that ever lived, yet there were things he just didn't get. Things that were obviously one way, but the answer was something else. In the seventh chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, we pick up at verse 11. And it says, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. Have you ever seen somebody who got an inheritance, a lot of money, and a few years later they were just broke? They got a nice house from their parents, and they got lands and stuff, and several years later you're looking and these people don't have anything. They've made no improvement. In fact, they haven't been able to keep what they had. Maybe it's because they didn't live life with wisdom. You see, we need to have wisdom. We need to have that understanding, not just of the stuff, but how to live, how to do, how to be, so that we are seemingly blessed. Wisdom's good when you get stuff. If you don't have that wisdom, you can lose it all. For wisdom is a defense. Wisdom helps you know what to do and how to do. And money is a defense. It's good when you got some money, isn't it? We would like to pretend that, well, I don't need money. I just have love. Man, I don't know. I like having this love thing, but it sure is a lot more fun with money. I know, that sounds like I'm just a prosperity preacher, and I'm not. It's just there's a truth that it makes it easier when you can pay for it. It makes it easier when you don't have to think about certain things because you have the money to do what you need to do. Wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Wisdom helps you to live a life of joy. Steve was talking about, sometimes I just need to have that joy of worship. You know, sometimes we're going through the motions. Do you guys ever come in and go through the motions? You know, shame on you. But that's the reality of life, is that we go through the motions. We do what we think was supposed to be done at this particular time, and we call that worship, and we go away and tell everybody, did we have a good worship today? No, not if you're just going through the motions. If you haven't realized that you have a Lord that is worth all of your worship, He is worth all of this hubbub. He is worth you being here early in the morning or mid-morning and doing all that you do to prepare to go where you're going and to go through all of this stuff. He is worthy of all of that. He is worthy of you giving your time and your talent and even your money. He's worthy of all of that. He is worthy that you would acknowledge that you don't need to do life without Him. In fact, He is worthy of you acknowledging you can't do anything without Him. I can do no thing, no good thing without God. In fact, every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father of lights above, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Without Him, I can do nothing. I need Him. He's worthy. He's good to me. He keeps me. It's in Him I live and move and have my very being. And the next breath I take, if I take it, it will be because He has been good to me. He has cared for me. He has kept me. I need Him. I can lean into Him. And as I lean into Him, I recognize that every good thing I can say about Him, He's worthy. He's worthy. He's lovely. He's amazing. I look at my own body and you see all of the different things that go on, and you realize that we are fearfully and wonderfully made just the way that your hand moves with such complexity, and how it is connected to your brain, and how your brain, you haven't gone crazy today yet. And over all of that is God. The creator of all things is God. He's worthy. The excellency of knowledge is that wisdom gives life. We have life and breath. We have that because of His wisdom. Consider the work of God, the scripture says. Do you think about it? Have you really stopped to think? See, we sometimes go through the motions of life without stopping to think, without stopping to consider, without stopping to understand. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which He hath made crooked? Who can fix what He's messed up? How do we know whether going straight as the crow flies makes more sense or zigzagging? How do we know that the way that He chose for us to go is the best way, or is my way the best way? Some of us say my way or the highway, but He say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God but by me. He is our way, and we don't always understand his way. We don't understand what is right. We don't understand everything except that we know that he is good. He is worthy. Verse 14 says, in the day of prosperity, there are days when things are going right. You know, it's okay to rejoice. Some people can't enjoy a good day because they're so worried about the next day. They're saying, oh, this is a really good day. I wonder what's going to happen next. I wonder when it's coming. Oh, I know. Gee, this is the sun shining and I wonder if it's going to flood when that rain that's going to come is going to hit. Listen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Here we're having a good day. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, in your rejoicing, in your doing what you should do, let the way that you live, let your moderation be made known unto all men. Live your life in a way that is right before everybody. Do the right thing, but you can rejoice. You can enjoy. Let your moderation be made known to all men. Be careful for nothing. Don't listen, stop worrying. Why are you worried? Why are you worried? Be careful for nothing but in everything. Everything that you do, everywhere you go. But in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. Let your moderation be made known to all men. Don't worry about anything. What should you think of in this process? Whatsoever things are true and honest and just. And of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on that. Think in line with the truth of the word of God. He will never leave you. Nor will he forsake you. God loves you. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. What happens when it's not going well? What happens when you're sitting in the hospital room? What happens when something is broken? What happened? What do you do? Do you lose your peace? Or do you still have the peace of God which passes all understanding? The whole world looks at you and says, how can you be so calm? The whole world looks at you and says, aren't you shook up? The whole world looks at you and wonders, wow, if that's what's happening with them, I wonder if I could have that too. I wonder if I could have that peace. I wonder if I could have those things so that I am not disturbed. And why wouldn't you be disturbed? Because you know that you have a sovereign God, and no matter what the outcome is, he is with you. No matter what the outcome is, he's not left you. No matter what the outcome is, you know that all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. If you are called according to his purpose, you will walk right through the veil of death into eternity with him. So you can be joyful and relaxed on this side right now. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the circumstance feels like, there's a reality that he is with us. In the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. You're not going to suddenly discover the God particle and so you can explain everything. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. Sometimes my life just seems like a vapor. I tell you, time sure is passing fast. I'm just shocked sometimes. I'm still that 20-year-old. You know, so why is this body draped over him? I'm still that guy who could think quickly and react quickly. I remember when I first recognized that I was getting old, I was talking to some boys about basketball, and they were on the court there and they were having a practice. And I said to a kid, here, let me show you how to do this. I was assuming I could still do this. You know? And so I gave the kid the ball, and I said, I got down into my stance. But I got down, and I said, all right, try to score. And he did. I hadn't got out of my stance before he scored. And I went, yeah, that's good. That's exactly what I mean for you not to do. And I recognized that I had been changing. I had been being different, and I had no seeming control over it whatsoever. And it was frustrating. What a vain thing. What a weird thing was going on with me. And I was depressed for like 3 weeks. All those things I've seen in the days of my vanity. There's a just man, and he perisheth in his righteousness. Someone dies and we go, that was such a good person, and everybody is broken and we can't explain it, and it's so frustrating. And on our way from the funeral home, we pass by the house of some scallywag who we really can't stand and is doing all this terrible stuff, and they are just prospering, getting old whilst they're doing it. And it just drives me bonkers. There's a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. And you realize you don't have the simple answer for that. I can't say why you're prospering or failing. I can't say why someone went left when they should have gone right. I can't say why this person is that and this person is not. And I recognize that I'm not God. I don't know. And that is tremendously tough. Be not righteous over much. This one I had to think about for a while. Neither make thyself over wise. Now, why wouldn't I try to be as righteous over as much as I could? Why not try to demonstrate that I was particularly wise? Yes, I need to get a little sandwich billboard, one of those little sandwich billboards, and walk through town saying, I'm a wise man. Questions for 50 cents. Yeah, but no. Listen, don't set yourself up for foolishness. Don't think that you've got all the answers and that you can manipulate God. Some people try to live righteously as they possibly can, so that they have a fulcrum that they can move God onto their agenda. If I just do a good thing and another good thing, and I can go through the whole week, by the time the end of the week comes, I can say this to God, and he'll just have to do it. because that's what his word says. And because his word says that, I can say what I want, when I want, how I want, because of what I have done. I am a righteous man. And because I'm walking righteously, I can do whatever my mind can see. Lie. 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 Our God is sovereign, and sometimes the path is crooked, and I don't get to say when it should be straight. I need to live righteously, but I am not trying to live righteously in order to manipulate God. I am living righteously because I so love God that I want to please him. I live righteously because he has said for me to live righteously. I take the stuff that I take because he is good and I can trust him. I'm not trying to control the situation. I am controlled by him. And because I control by him, it doesn't matter when I have to walk into the furnace or the refrigerator. It doesn't matter. God will keep me. Will he keep you? Do you trust him to keep you, or are you trying to be super wise so that you can control the situation? But don't slip and go the other way. Don't slip and mess it up. Don't slip. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Well, since I can't control God by being righteous, why don't I just eat, drink, and be merry? Why don't I make myself a glutton? Why don't I make as much money as I can any way that I can? Because God's sovereign anyway, so I'm not going to be able to do anything but what God allows me to do, so I might as well just go as crazy as I can. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to have what I want the way that I want. I'm going to act as crazy as I want because it doesn't matter. No. Don't go there. Don't be foolish. Don't think that there aren't consequences to your behavior. Don't think that you can just do anything any old way. God wants to bless you. God wants to love you. As you line up with his word. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word knows you. And God is shaping your life, and he is allowing the things that you have and you want and you desire to make you into something different than you are now. And the way that God is using to shape you, I don't know what it's going to be like, but in the end, if you know him, you will be like him. But don't think you can just live any old way. He's given you a way for you to live, to walk righteously, to walk truly, to walk honestly before your God. Do the right thing. God is calling for that. It is good, verse 18, that thou should take hold of this. Yes, also from this withdraw not thine hand. Do the right thing. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. He, the fear of God, will be blessed. You can't explain everything you see, But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Wisdom will take you far. Wisdom will keep you pure. It will give you peace. You will have joy. Sometimes you'll even have sorrow. But wisdom is very, very good. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Listen. Sweet as little babies are, I haven't seen one that's perfect yet. I haven't seen one that gets it all right. My little Jordan, my great grandbaby, they're sweet until he wants what he wants. Where is that thing? It is not here. I am going to let you know that I want what I want, and I will not be satisfied until I get it. And even after I get it for a while, I'm going to give you a few hoops. There's no person that lives perfectly. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is our common experience. All of us sin. We are all desperately in the need of the blood of Christ to cover our life. We are desperately in need of God paying for our sins, of God between us and the wrath of God that comes from not doing what we should do. We need him. All of us need him. All the time. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All of my righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. I can't make it up. I can't fix it up. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. Some of us think so much of ourselves that if somebody says, well, you're not as nice as you think you are, we're broken, and you go through the rest of your life trying to prove that you're nice. You go through the rest of your life denouncing that person. Thinking, what did I do to them? Is there something I can fix? But blah, blah. You know, it's just crazy. People can say just the slightest thing. You can overhear the slightest thing or misunderstand something someone said, and suddenly you are crushed because you give too much weight to the words of men and not enough weight to the words of God. Take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knows that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. You know, you get really frustrated until you recognize, oh, I did that too. Oh, I said that about her. Oh, I thought that about him. Oh, I wish that on them. Oh, I'm not all that. I need God. You see, we think that somehow some people don't need God. We think that somehow maybe we've escaped certain sins and ways, but all of us have this need, this absolute definite need of our Lord and Savior. So the question is, do you have him today? The question is, has he called to you, and have you responded, confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart, Jesus Christ is Lord? Have you realized that you have been brought into a family that has a purpose to let the light of God shine throughout the world? We are to be introducing other people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We are to be broadcasting that there is good news, that the King has come. Do you know that today? I'm gonna help you today. I'm gonna help you. I want you to begin to exercise what we call the Great Commission, what you've all been told to do. You have been told to share the good news of Jesus Christ. You have been told that you should tell people about Christ so that they could come to the realization that in their humanness, they are absolutely in need of God, and God is the only answer to the way that they should live. Dana is going to pass something out to you today. It's called Three Circles, a life conversation guide. See, I really want us to be an evangelistic congregation, one that shares the truth, one that recognizes the truth. And this is something that everybody can do. It's real simple stuff. It says, we live in a broken world, surrounded by broken lives, broken relationships, and broken systems. You can just read it right out of the book. This brokenness is seen in suffering, violence, poverty, pain, and death around us. We agree that all of those things are happening. Brokenness leads us to search for a way to make life work. Then you turn the page. Can everybody turn pages? Okay, see. In contrast to this brokenness, we also see beauty. I see beauty when I look at you guys. Purpose. I know that we are called because I see it in the Word of God. And evidence of design. God made it all. It's all around us. The Bible tells us that God originally planned a world that worked perfectly, where everything and everyone fit together in harmony. God made each of us with a purpose to worship him and walk with him. God saw all that he made, and it was very good. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the work of his hands. It's God's design. Are you willing to say to people that what you see around you is God's design? And then it says on the next page, life doesn't work when we ignore God and his original design for our lives. Even though we don't understand all of the curves and all of the not straight paths, we still need to obey. We selfishly insist on doing what things our own way, and the Bible calls this sin. We all sin, and we distort the original design. The consequence of our sin is separation from God in this life for all of eternity. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Do we want the people around us to die? Or do we want them to live? And then you turn the page again, and sin leads to a place of brokenness. I know that I am broken at times. I am just a mess. Signs of brokenness, we see this all around us and in our own lives as well. When we realize life is not working, we begin to look for a way out. You could tell somebody that, right? We tend to go in many directions trying different things to figure it out on our own. Brokenness leads to a place of realizing a need for something greater. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served something created instead of the Creator. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. So there's God's design, there was sin, and because of sin, brokenness comes. At this point, we need a remedy because of his love. God did not leave us in our brokenness. Jesus, God in human flesh, came to us and lived perfectly according to God's design. Jesus came to rescue us, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. He took our sin and shame to the cross, paying the penalty of our sin by his death. Jesus was then raised from the dead to provide the only way for us to be rescued and restored to a relationship with God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He erased the certificate of debt and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and raised the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the good news. When God restores our relationship to him, by the way, you still got to turn the page. When God restores our relationship to him, we begin to discover the meaning and purpose in a broken world. Now we can pursue God's design in all areas of our lives. Even when we fail, we understand God's pathway to be restored. This same good news of Jesus, God's Spirit empowers us to recover his design and assures us of his presence in this life and for all eternity. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose. For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them. And it tells you what you should do. Let me ask you, now that you have heard this good news, God wants you to respond to him. You can talk to him using words like these. My life is broken. I recognize it because of my sin. Father, I need you. I believe Christ came to live, die, and was raised from the dead to rescue from my sin. Forgive me. I turn from my selfish ways and put my trust in you. I know that Jesus is Lord of all, and I will follow him. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved. What do you need after you get this saved? Well, church, prayer, Bible. And it goes on. You can have this conversation. And I challenge you in the next week to take this book, open it up to someone, and have that conversation. But first of all, we've had that conversation. Would you bow your head with me? Are you willing today to pray, "Dear Father, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and I thank you for changing me. I've been broken, but by your stripes I am healed. Thank you, Lord. Help me not only to believe, but pass on to others so that they might believe as well. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen." In the next week, share with somebody. Find somebody to share.